I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. Thank you so much for joining and supporting us. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Just craziness in the NHL right now as we head toward the playoffs. And someone joining me that is much smarter than me because she went to Northwestern. She covers the Dallas Stars for your Dallas Morning News. It's Leah Simakopoulos. How are you, Leah?
I'm doing good. I don't know if I would say I'm much smarter than you because I went to Northwestern at all, but I appreciate it.
I'm a big college hockey guy, but I don't remember Northwestern with a hockey program.
They do not have one. They used to have an ice rink and it closed down. Never had a team and didn't really get to cover hockey till I started covering the Stars.
Wow.
So missed out on the Big Ten and hockey there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I mean, with the explosion in Michigan State and Notre Dame, it'd be nice to have Northwestern have a little program. That would be that would be cool. All right.
I agree.
So a lot of people have been asking, so I'm just going to run through this for the NHL playoffs. In the event of a regular season tiebreaker, number one, regulation wins. Number two, regulation and overtime wins. Number three, total wins. Yes. Number four, most points earned in head-to-head competition. Number five, goal differential. Number six, total goals. So from all those scenarios, since you are the expert from the Dallas Morning News, where do we stand? This is nuts.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy couple of days in the NHL, and I think where things are looking, the Stars are not going to know their opponent until about midnight on Thursday night, which is not ideal for those of us that have to write stories about it. But when the tiebreakers are weird, in my opinion, because you'd think it would be head-to-head or most points in a series, but it's regulation wins. And when it comes down to tiebreakers, that is not something that really benefits the Stars, because if you may have remembered, there was that little part of the season where they went to overtime pretty much tonight. They won a lot of those games, but they were not regulation wins. So if you look at the standings and the tiebreakers, the Vancouver Canucks are going to have the tiebreaker there. And that's pretty much why the Stars need to win their last game of the season, regardless of what happens with Vancouver. Because if the Stars lose to St. Louis and Vancouver wins against Calgary and Winnipeg, then Vancouver wins the West. And that means the Stars will play Nashville in the first round. So it is still very possible that the Stars play the Predators. Now, some people may be a fan of that scenario because it allows the Stars to avoid a first round matchup with Vegas. But after what happened last night and LA lost pretty much in shocking fashion to Minnesota, it's possible that the Stars don't even have to play Vegas if they win the West, because right now, as it stands, Vegas wins out. They get third place in the Pacific Division, and LA would be that second wild card team, even if they win their last game, because Nashville has won or has it. So they would then tie in regulation wins, but then Nashville has the second tiebreaker in regulation overtime wins. So they would be wild card one. They're already locked into that spot, and LA would be wild card two. And they would be coming to Dallas over the weekend. So three possible teams. Honestly, everyone in the West is good. I don't know that you want to play anybody, but I think LA is your best bet. Nashville is probably your second best bet.
Right.
And no one wants to face the team that knocked him out of the playoffs in the first round.
Exactly. And the team that currently holds the cup.
Exactly.
You know, with most of that team returning. So therefore, they know what it takes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. LA first, Nashville second, and then give me Vegas. So, you know, it appears unless Vancouver falls tonight that the Stars are pretty much going to throw a full lineup out there.
Yeah, so I think tomorrow's going to be interesting. We've got practice in about an hour or so, and that's something that I'm planning to ask about because, you know, Pete DeBoer has said that he wants to get his injured players in the lineup. And obviously, if Vancouver loses tonight, then, you know, you rest who you want to rest, you play all your injured players, you know, it's a very different approach than if the Western Conference title is on the line. And yes, Vancouver plays Winnipeg the last game of the year. That's not an easy matchup by any means. So who knows what happens there, but of course, you know, the Stars control their own destiny. They want to win that game. So I think that we will probably see, my guess is we'll see Evgeny Dodonov in the lineup. They've been talking about that. They've been wanting to bring him back. He hasn't played since, I think, February 10th. He fractured something in his lower body, and it's been a long process for him to return, but he's been practicing. And, you know, he's a player that you can see them using in the postseason, and it's kind of hard to go from not playing for 2 months to throwing somebody in a game seven. So I think they'd like to get him in. Yanni Hakanpää, I think, I've heard is a little bit further behind, but they said they want to play him too. So, you know, we'll see. It's a tough decision of, do you want to bring in these guys that haven't played for a while, or do you want to stick with what's been working and mm-hmm. just get the win? I mean, they have one game left and they have some tough choices to make, but I think for the most part, you know, the lineup's going to be pretty set. And if Dodonov comes in, it'll probably be for a fourth line guy. Pete DeBoer has talked a lot about wanting to get everyone in a playoff rotation, especially Jay Gottinger. So I imagine that we'll be seeing him as well.
You know, I gave you credit on this podcast because I thought you did a great job asking a question that a lot of people on Twitter/X wanted to know as far as what the Nils Lundqvist situation, you know, was. Mm-hmm. You asked Pete DeBoer in a post press conference, and he wanted to talk about other things. But I give you a lot of credit for asking that question that a lot of people wanted to know. Have you learned anything since as far as the protected minutes, mostly offensive zone minutes, you know, and basically the future of Nils Lundqvist? Because I'll just add that Jim Neal, I was thinking about this morning, several times had said that Nils Lundqvist is a big part of this future, but now we're going on 2 years of limited minutes.
Yeah, it's a really tough situation, and I wish that I could say that I knew more, and that's why we've been asking. I mean, we have asked multiple times about multiple different games and situations, and I even, you know, some even like Mike Hyka from DallasStars.com has kind of served up questions on a silver platter for Pete to even take them and say, yeah, he's been doing really well. He's been, you know, making progress, and he hasn't always taken that opportunity. And it feels like there's something happening that, you know, they just don't want to talk about, and we don't really know what it is. And I wish I had an answer. And the yeah. answer that we've been given is that it's this time of year where tough decisions have to be made. And maybe that is all that it is, but, you know, right now you have six healthy defensemen and you're only really playing five of them. And I think it's one thing in that Colorado game, you know, Nils gives up a big goal, gets kind of out muscled, and then he gets benched. That's one thing. But, you know, you come into the Winnipeg game and you're playing, you give him like two or three shifts in the first period. And he plays like 2 minutes that period. You know, I think that's a very different situation. You're coming into the game without the intention of really using him. So it, you know, the future I think is very up in the air. He's a restricted free agent this offseason, so, you know, we'll see what happens there. But you know, the Stars traded a first round pick for him.
Yeah.
He's obviously someone that they want to see succeed, and I think there's been times in the year when he has, and I think that, you know, you put him on that third pairing with Ryan Suter, and you need a puck mover. He's had some moments. Putting Ryan Suter and Yanni Hakanpää together hasn't always totally worked out in their favor, and that might be what we see more in the playoffs. So it's looking like, you know, his time could be coming to an end when Hakanpää is back, but, you know, we don't know when that's going to be. And it's definitely been confusing for all of us to watch, and, you know, I guess we'll just have to see what happens in the playoffs.
You have a great relationship with Jake Oettinger. You mentioned that the last time you were on this program, and I know, and I'm going to say this in a complimentary way, Jake Oettinger is a tough person to read in that Jake Oettinger just maintains as most good goalies should do, you know, not an emotional swing. And, you know, if he lets in a goal, he looks the same as if he gets a shutout. But I wanted to ask, though, during this Ottinger impressive run, have you seen any differences with Jake?
I mean, even just talking to Jake, I think you can feel the differences. I mean, yes, I agree that when you see him on the ice, he's pretty, you know, even. What he doesn't really get too down on himself, and he doesn't really show that to us either. But, you know, he's very confident. He's not someone who's afraid to say, you know, I think I can be the best goalie in all of hockey. Like he will say that. And I think we're starting to see that energy from him again. And, you know, I think the last, I guess, month or so of Stars hockey, a lot has changed defensively, and it's pretty much everything that the Stars have hoped for. The addition of Chris Tanev has really paid off. And I think even more than I thought it would. It really, things have just been falling into place for them. And, you know, everything in front of Jake has been better. And not to say that he hasn't upped his game, because he was letting in some goals that were not characteristic goals for him. So he's certainly improved as well. But I think he's, you know, it sometimes just takes a shutout or a really good game, and then he's kind of getting into his stride, and, you know, he's playing at his playoff level right now. And that's exactly what they were hoping. And we've talked about this a lot in you know, among Stars media, it's a long season. And people were getting down on Jake for just not playing his best, but wouldn't you rather that be in February and March than in April and May? So, you know, he got it out of his system, and he's really hitting stride at the right time.
You know, I was wondering this as well, because I see a lot of the national media now saying, you know, watch out for the Dallas Stars, watch out for the Dallas Stars. But there just hasn't been a consistent push year long from national media. And I was wondering if it's this, Leah, that they're a very consistent team, but amazing that you have 820 goal scorers, but because you don't have that McDavid, Matthews, because you look at the Stars team, and I'm talking like someone that is a highlight reel material. They make highlight reel plays at times, but maybe that's why the national media really hasn't talked much about Dallas, because they just kind of do their thing, kind of like Carolina, in that you have Sebastian Aho, who's a terrific player, who I said if he played in Chicago, New York would be, you know, amazing. But at the same time, he plays in Raleigh. And I think sometimes these Southern teams get lost in the shuffle, especially if they don't have that elite scoring superstar who shows up on ESPN.
Absolutely. I think that you're exactly right in that. I mean, I think it was, you know, different last year when you have Jason Robertson scoring, you know, over 100 points. You have, you know, you have Jake Ottinger being this like rising star in the league. But I think they lose attention when they're just kind of in the mix of everybody else. And I think it has taken longer for the national media to look and say, oh, wow, the reason this team is so good without any 40 goal scorers or with, you know, 230 goal scorers is because they have, you know, six other players who have 20 goals this year. I think, and I think now with the playoffs coming around, people are realizing, oh, you know, those are the characteristics of a team that are going to win the Stanley Cup. You know, Connor McDavid isn't going to single-handedly win the Stanley Cup. So their depth is probably their biggest strength. And that's something that I've, you know, talked about all season. And a lot of the stuff that I've written, I think that their depth is unmatched right now. So I do think that it's taken some time for people to realize that. And I think the Stars kind of like that. They've been able to fly a little bit under the radar, do their own thing. And of course, now everybody's talking about them. So, you know, nobody wants to be the team that everyone's picking to win the Stanley Cup, because that team is never going to win. So I think that they were fine with, you know, letting New York get the attention, win the President's Trophy, and just kind of keep doing what they've been doing, because it's been working. And, you know, they don't have to worry about losing their best player and not getting any production, because they've got seven other guys that have been able to do it all year.
You know, I also love the fact that, you know, it's a great trade when people are already chirping that Chris Tanev needs to come back.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we all knew how good that he was in Calgary and Vancouver, but I liken it, Leah, to a few years back when Matt Zuccarello came in and ultimately decided on Joe Pavelski and stick tap to Jim Nill, because that worked out really well. But at the time, you're like, oh my goodness. I mean, he came in at the end of the season, and the playoffs that he had, it was like, this guy's been with the Stars for years. the chemistry he has. And you're kind of hearing that stuff with Tanev as well. I wanted to ask you if you think that's a possibility that we might see Chris Tanev back here.
I mean, I would love to see the Stars prioritize that and try to bring him back. I think, you know, the toughest piece of it is going to be the salary cap, because right now they're only paying a quarter of his salary to get what they're getting out of him, which has been exactly what they hoped for. I mean, he's fit in so well with Esa Lindell. He's kind of opened it up so that Esa Lindell can kind of show a little bit more of his sneaky offensive abilities. I mean, they've got a true defensive pairing. They've got a true two-way pairing with Miro and Harley. It's just, their top four is very solid. And that's something that probably couldn't be said all of this season before that, and last year too. So, you know, I think that, I imagine that they would want to keep Tanev. It's just going to be a question of how, and moving some things around, and what happens in this playoff run. You know, if this team goes to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think a lot changes. We see who sticks around, we see who retires, all that. So, you know, we'll have to see. But from what I've seen, I think, you know, he's worth trying to keep around.
What do you think, as this team heads into the playoffs, that the one thing they need to stay out of? I mean, they're a very good penalty killing team, but they have fallen into at times, especially at the beginning of the year, taking a lot of penalties. That's certainly gone down. But what's the one area, if there is a concern from you heading into this playoffs, what would it be?
I think the Winnipeg game almost like opened up a different fear that I didn't really know existed for the Stars. I think the way that they just kind of, because they've controlled games a lot, like even in the games that they've lost, like I look back at that Florida game where they blew that 3-0 lead, like they still really competed. But it felt like in that Winnipeg game, they let their opponent just control that game from the start. They were playing completely to Winnipeg's game and they did not score, which has happened like three times all year to this team for one of the best scoring teams in the NHL. So I think this was an issue in the playoffs last year too, just kind of the slow starts, the falling behind, having to pick themselves out of this hole. And, you know, they set a franchise or tied a franchise record this year for the most comeback wins, which, you know, in some ways is great. They've had this resilience, but in other ways, it's why is this team that's one of the best in the league had to come back this many times? So I think it's that kind of controlling the game, especially when you're playing, you know, better teams, teams that play differently than you, controlling the game from the start, having strong first periods and not just relying on your second period to kind of pick it up. I think that's going to be a big area of focus for them. And another is that third defensive pairing, because we've seen them kind of get eaten alive, and it's great if you have a really strong top four, but if all your goals are getting scored on your third pairing, then doesn't really matter a whole lot. So finding a way to just, you know, get what they need out of whoever it is, whether it's Suter and Lundqvist, Suter and Hakanpää. I think those are probably their two weaknesses, which is kind of crazy to say, because they don't have a whole, right now, based on how they're playing, their weaknesses aren't super glaring. So I guess they kind of just have to keep doing what they've been doing.
Yeah. I promise you, Spits and Suds fans, we did not talk about this prior, because you nailed it, Leah. I have the same concerns that Winnipeg game showed me. And I actually liken that Winnipeg game to the Vegas series, in that I felt as though the Stars really struggled with that deep physical forecheck, and unable to get it out of their zone and fighting so hard. There was also a game in Colorado where Colorado did that. In the blowout game where the Stars were just trying to flip it out of the zone. And you talk about neutralizing, you know, a speed team, that would certainly do it. Well, she's not done for the day, folks. She has practice, and then she'll be answering questions on Reddit today at 1 p.m. Central. So you can ask her questions. She put her link on her Twitter feed. It is at LassiMac. LassiMac. Am I right about that?
You are right. That is correct.
You know, they're going to tell me that you were better the second time around.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It's always fun to talk about the team, and well, you know, we'll see how far this thing goes.
You have done a great job this year. I know it's your initial year. You're terrific. Thank you. Keep up the great work. Can't wait to hear your playoff coverage, and we'll have you back on the program soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And once again, you can check out Leah on Reddit today, and you can always check out her articles at DallasNews.com. She does a great job following the Dallas Stars and covering the Dallas Stars. Leah Simakopoulos right here on Spits and Suds. We'll talk to you soon with another episode. Have a great day, everyone.